What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Karting Dads. In this episode, we talk about our trip that we made to Ocala Grand Prix. We ran two classes with a whole bunch of friends that we've had, and we mentioned them, pretty much mentioned all of them in this episode. And it was just a blast, and I couldn't thank Ocala Grand Prix for having us and, you know, putting on such a great race. Everything was fun. We got to race underneath the lights. It's such a cool track. So I hope you guys appreciate our show. Thanks again for listening to it. You know, please continue to follow us on Facebook at Karting Dads or on KartingDads.com and also JacksKarting.com.
What up? What up?
What's going on, man?
Oh, not much, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Loving this little rainy day that we have. No, I think I was more sore leaving the track that night than I was the next day or today. So, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I wasn't sore leaving, but I think when I woke up, I could sense that, man, that was a little more than usual, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, we put in a lot of laps and a lot of time.
Yeah. And luckily, we didn't have any major, like, repairs or anything, just adjustments, so that was good. It's crazy that it worked out that way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
the event we're talking,
jump into the recap.
Yeah, the event we're talking about is the third race for the fall winter series at the Ocala Grand Prix, and we decided that we were going to enter in two classes. We both ran 206 senior, as you ran senior medium and I ran senior heavy, and then we both ran the 206 masters class. So we double dipped. Well, I mean, we're gonna drive that couple hours to get down there, might as well take full advantage of everything we can do.
Yeah, and we roll in deep with, you know, seven or eight of us, so we kind of joked in our private chat that we make a class wherever we go, but the truth is we do. So, you know, it kind of made sense. And Ocala, I mean, I don't know if they know how much value they're giving us, but it's only a $15 difference. I mean, when I registered for mine, he says, what class? I'm like, oh, 206 senior. He goes, okay, you need a transponder? I'm like, nope. All right, 44 something. I'm like, oh, no, add 206 masters to that, okay? 59 something. I'm like, really? It's only a $15 difference to add the extra class and to, I mean, the practice is combined, but you basically get double the qualifying, double the heats, and double, you know, double the final. I mean, that's an absolute no-brainer. I mean, to do it. I mean, so yeah, OGP, really, really good value there for the race entry being, you know, the race entry itself being $15. And then all the ancillaries, right, being high, the pit pass being high. I think it's $14 for the pit pass. And compared to, like, Jack's, for example, the pit pass would be $10. And your transponder is included with your entry, but your entry is $30. So I guess if you wanted to pay for two entries, you'd be paying $60 for two entries, you know, whereas the overhead wouldn't, you know, it would seem like it's the same price in the end, but the overhead is different. So if you wanted to enter three classes or four classes, you could do that where you'd only be paying $15 more, whereas, you know, here you'd be paying $30 each time. So I like the value that they bring for sure. I like it. It was cool.
Yeah, and we got to do two classes with one card, so that was a plus. And it was spaced out enough that you can, you know, we ran the 206 class for seniors, and then we had like a 2 hour or so break in between having to run masters, which made the day long considering masters was the last group to run.
Yeah.
But if we had two carts, say an X30 and a 206, or shifter cart and a 206, I mean, you literally can run, you know, so let's see, $45 for three classes.
Definitely.
And have plenty of time in between every round, you know. But in Jacksonville, it's pretty much, you know, the seniors run with the masters at 206, or if they don't run, they run back to back. So having one cart to do both would be pretty challenging.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you don't have to adjust weights, you know, then that's different. And in my case, like the masters class is a 390 class. It was just a throwaway for the seat time because we know I've you know, I've been to Ocala 3 times and I have had absolutely terrible luck each time. So, you know, I think, yeah, I need to pull up my micro and actually see how many actual clean laps I have at Ocala. But I know each final on the 2 events that prior to this, I've had a full final and then maybe half of, you know, the semi or the heat, something like that. Like, I really only maybe have 100 laps total.
Yeah.
Up until now. So, I mean, I figured you just like, we need to start doubling this up because I'm way behind the curveball and all of y'all are just streaming away. Everybody's checking out. I can't keep up with any of you. So I'm starting to suck, man. The suckage is real.
Yeah, it's well, for instance, one thing I really do like about OGP is I love their qualifying setup. I am not a very good qualifier whatsoever, right? Because, you know, sometimes you just have to get the nerve, your nerve up, and, you know, it's going all out right off the bat. It's hard to do, you know? So their qualifying setup is you really only have 2 laps to do it because your lap out counts as your first lap. So you're not up to full speed yet. So lap 2 and then lap 3, you know, you're going to check a flag and you come off. So you have to attack those turns like right off the bat. You really don't have a chance of drafting. So it's pretty much all on you. What can you do with your cart for those 3 laps? And
And you got to be lucky too to not, you know, like you got to trust the people in front of you. And then you got to just say, I'm going for it. And hopefully the gap you have is just enough, right? Like if you can give yourself that 1 second to, you know, 2 second gap to the cart in front of you, you know, by the time you're crossing the line for your flyer, if you can somehow build that gap in there and know that hopefully the cart in front of you is not a full second slower, right? Then like you're in good shape. But yeah, I know that caught me out. And it's just a consequence of the way the track layout works. See, in Jax, for example, because our start finish would be on our left doing the standard configuration, you leave the pits, you get basically the whole turn 5, mini bowls, you know, double right-hander, sweeper, and then you come all the way down and back before you take the green for your first lap. You know what I mean? So even though it's 3 laps, you would get that whole run, basically only losing 2 corners off a full lap. Whereas with, you know, Cala, their current full configuration, you leave from the pits and you go straight to start finish, you know, so that green counts immediately. I think if we're doing the, you know, the clockwise layout, then you would get the full lap, you know what I mean, before you got to the start finish. So you would at least get that lap to warm up and then bang, like your actual first green would count. But with this one, man, your first green, you're not even up to speed, you know, to make it really count, because you're just leaving the pits cold, whereas you'd have come around the showcase, you know, at full speed. So yeah, man, that was, I mean, 3 laps comes fast because you only get in 2, and I don't know, man, I've been tentative every time. I can't commit. I mean, my cart, I mean, I'll talk about, you know, how difficult my cart's been, but I can't keep my cart under me and then getting out there, you know, just trying to go out, you know, balls out, you know, on the first lap or second lap, man, that's wary.
Yeah, it's scary, and like I tell myself every time, I'm like, just do it, you know, go after it. You have to, you cannot wait. And I mean, I think I'm a pretty hesitant driver. I'm more on the safe side of being a karting driver than I am being aggressive. But with qualifying, it's like, you have to put that aside. Like for instance, you know, when I qualified P2 in the senior heavy class, and I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, I had a good qualifying lap. And then when I went out for masters, my tires weren't, you know, hot because the weather was cold. But I knew that, you know, my tires, you know, I got all the trash off my tires. They were, you know, they had plenty of grip. And when I left, the guy in front of me was kind of, you know, trying to scrape his tires. And I'm like, dude, screw you. I can't. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going. You know, you go ahead and scrape. I'm going to pass you. And I think I kind of caught him off guard, you know, passing him right after the start finish line. But I'm like, sorry, man. You know, I don't have time to scrub. And then when I qualified, I was a half second faster in Masters, just by like the mentality of just, you know, don't wait, go. And I felt I was on top of the world. I was like, dang, that was freaking good. You know, I felt like I hit every single point. And then I come through the weigh-ins, and my dad's like, "You're 10th. And I'm like, "What? 10th? I'm like, "Are you serious? I just put in, like, I felt like the best laps I've ever done, and I'm 10th? You know, and there was, I think, 18 or something in the group, and I was like, "God dang," you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, I was a half second faster in Masters than I was in Senior, and humble pie.
Yeah, humble pie. I know. I never had a chance to even look at race monitor all day. It was like that chaotic. I never looked at the race monitor until we were done. But man, yeah, kind of similar to that. So kind of leading up to it. Let me dial it back a little bit before we actually get into how our driving went, for me at least. I knew I was going to go, but there was a lot. I think you you made fun of me. I'm sorry, man. Like, all week as we talked, was like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. I don't know if I'm able to go to drive or not. And last minute, because your motor went to crap at Roebling, and you had Jorge's motor that you had given back to him. So thanks to Miguel, who is our new engine guy in Jack's Karting. Miguel was like, "Yeah, man, just hand him over to me. Let's get a couple of carb rebuilds, and I'll take care of it." So I gave him my good, engine. And then I had found my awesome, as we've called it, the flea market special.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was like just this random post. This was back in September. So Labor Day weekend, I think, is when I picked it up. Back in September, found this random post of somebody selling a 206 engine in New Smyrna Beach. And I think he had posted it for 360 or something. And I was like, I'll have to go check it out. You know, whatever. It's a 206. It's a used 206. If for nothing at all, it's a more practice engines. We always have, guys trying to join us. We're always trying to expand our group. So, sure, it'll be an engine somebody could do some laps on. So I get out there and I'm looking at it, and this engine is sitting on a toolbox under a carport, and I swear to God, everything around that place looked like it hadn't been touched in a decade, like someone's junkyard storage. So the guy gets in, I was texting him, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Just go check it out. It's right there in the toolbox." So he comes to me, I'm like, "Dude, when was the last time this thing was run?" It's like, "Probably about 2 years ago. It's just been sitting out here. The track we go to, we don't run those anymore." I'm like, "Oh, okay." He's like, "You could pull it, pull the cord. Everything's fine. It's just been sitting." I'm like, "All right." So sure enough, I start pulling the cord, and I can feel there's a little compression. They're just fine. I mean, everything looks okay. So
just rusted.
I talk him down. What's that? I
said just rusted.
Yeah, just, the shaft is completely rusted. Like, the muffler, everything just, it looks like it's been sitting out there. It's probably sat out through the hurricanes that we've had, all two hurricanes, Irma and Matthew.
Yep.
And just survived just fine. So, I was like, okay, sure. I was really hoping to just bolt this to a cart and go. So I talk him down and I get it for a steal. But, I didn't really have hopes. I just, kind of brought it and figured we'll see what it does. So I gave that to Miguel as well, and like, "Dude, just take a look at it. If it's crap, no problem." And he's like, "Nah, it seems fine, man. We just need to replace the fuel system, and let's get new lines, new pump, new filters, and let's let it rip." So unfortunately, he was running out of time, so I wasn't really sure. And I'm like, "Dude, just bolt it on. Whatever it is, a good place for me to test it would be Ocala, right? So if whatever shape you can get into, let's get it out there. And I'll just bolt onto my cart. Andrew can run my good motor, because you've done really good there. So you could benefit from that. I'm still trying to figure out my way around it, and that's exactly what that motor would be for anyway. It's just for practice. So yeah, got there, and then that morning, trying to put the motor together, went to go fire it up for practice, and the fuel was leaking from the carb. So we thought it was like the O-ring around the needle, but no, it was fine. So anyway, we ended up swapping a carb from Jorge, put both of that on, and boom, sucker fired right up. No problem at all. So we're like, okay, well, we're good. But I missed first practice. So I went out in second practice. I did a few laps. And I don't know why. Never put fuel in the down thing.
Yeah.
So I never put fuel in my, you know, fuel tank. I mean, I put enough in there to fire it up, and that was it. So I, in all that madness, I never added fuel. So after, you know, two laps or so, I started sputtering. I'm like, oh, crap. Yep, no fuel. So I came in. So practice was a complete wash. And then now, like, the first sessions I was going into was qualifying. As always, man. Like, it's always some adversity. So the first one was just getting out there, getting a feel for it. You know, and I went out. Whatever gear I had on there for qualifying wasn't enough because I never hit the limiter at all. And in the collar, we typically, you're hitting the limiter somewhere between the start, finish, and to turn one, right? Just depends. So I never hit the limiter at all. So I was like, okay, it's fine. And I mean, I had no hopes. Like I said, I never even looked at race monitor. So I think that maybe there were seven or maybe, I don't know how many people there were in senior medium, but I was definitely last or maybe not even, I was in the back. That's all I got. So I came in and I made the adjustment. I went to a taller, you know, a bigger rear sprocket to get a little bit more oomph into the Masters qualifying, and that felt better. And I was still in the back, but I think I was maybe two or three or four from the bottom. So, but yeah, like throughout all that, at no point did I have my kart under me. So, kind of the characteristic there that now I can explain better. It just felt like I would just had, once I turn in on corner entry, I would have okay grip, and then right about mid corner, it would just go snap oversteer, and it would happen whether or not I added more input, and I could feel it, especially when the weight transfer happened. So, you know, as I'm going, even if I'm like barely turning in, as soon as I lift off, you know, a little bit of throttle, I can feel it just like immediately rotating. But, you know, normally I love that about the Eagle at Jax. It's easy to do that. But here, for some reason, it was just happening so quickly. And it just, it kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense. I think we both said that. It just didn't make sense. So, yeah, we just kind of started making small adjustments, you know, try to move the spacers in the front out a little bit for the Masters qualifying and see if I could get a little more grip and get it to bite. Even though the back was snapping, I still wanted to see if it was a consequence of something in the front that was causing it, because it felt like I had good grip, and then all of a sudden, almost as if I had too much grip in the front, which didn't make sense because my wheels were all the way in, as narrow as possible. So I'm like, maybe I'm just feeling something off. So let's kind of open it up. So I brought one spacer in to see if it would make a difference. It made a little bit of a difference, so it felt good, but it didn't cure it. So I didn't think I had really solved it. And then, you know, it just kind of sucked. But I figured, you know what, let me adjust some tire pressures too and see. Maybe the tires were just not hitting the marks because it was a cold day. I mean, I took my tire temperatures, and I can pull it up on my phone. I took pictures of it as soon as I came in. I think I was averaging like 99 across the surface. So that's pretty bad. I mean, MG recommends between like 160 and 170 or something like that, and we were at 99. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, those tires cool off really quick. Really, really quick.
No kidding.
Do you think OGP puts like some kind of like sticky agent on the track, or that track just has so much rubber? Because it seems like when you come off the track and you're waiting in line to go through the scale, your tires get stuck to the ground. It's like, man, this doesn't happen at Jacksonville. Is there just that much rubber, or are they putting like some kind of compound on the track? I mean, either way, I like it no matter what. But it's like I want to test the MGs at Jax and see if, you know, if that's just a nature, that's just a characteristic of the tire, or if it's, you know, just the track surface itself.
Yeah, no, it's the track, because it's used a lot more and it's a better surface than ours.
Yeah, that's true.
See, you have to think about it. In Jacksonville, nobody ever runs our track unless it's a, you know, a Saturday that we have a few people there, or a weekday you get one or two carts there. But OGP gets nonstop rentals going all day, you know, every day. and those rentals have, you know, slightly harder tire, and so they release a little bit, but they also clean, you know, a little bit. The harder compound isn't just putting clag everywhere, you know? So
yeah, that's true.
I think it's just a combination of all of it put together, where there's constant tires, you know, tires being run with the rental cars, and then all the other classes, you know, the shifters, the, you know, X30s, everybody leaving some compound on the ground as they go. It just makes a whole track, you know, even when we have a feeling of low grip, yeah, we get low grip because we're moving, but the track itself has this nice layer, right, that keeps it well protected.
Yeah.
So when we come off the track, it's just, oh, yay, we don't have any more rubber to keep, you know, we don't have any more rubber to kind of separate the tire from the ground. Let's melt all of it down and stick to the ground now because we don't have enough. Whereas on the track itself, there's enough transfer that's happened, right? That there's a nice layer to kind of gloss over, you know?
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So, I didn't think about it that way. But, yeah, it's – I don't know. I've been having okay luck there, so I'm not going to complain too much.
And even having great luck there. Let me see. So when I look at my my notes from the event, my tire temperatures, my front left average across the three was 92.5. My right front was 91. Left rear, which was solid, was 95.6. And my right rear was also 96 even. But, you know, again, that's so far from the 176 to 203 Fahrenheit for ideal temperatures that MG recommends. So, you know, if I was aiming for 190 to 200 for my optimal tire temperature for the MG, yeah, no, I was, you know, 100 degrees off.
Yeah.
So that sucked. So, yeah, just kind of playing with that a little bit was kind of like the goal, trying to see what on earth can we do to get a little bit more temperature in there. Pressures was another thing, trying to fight that. But, you know, it's just, you can't go too high because I needed the grip because, you know, it was just snapping on me with the oversteer. So I just wanted as much contact patch as possible. Yeah, it was a battle, man. But, you know, needless to say, qualifying wasn't a good time to feel anything out because you only had two green laps, really. The outlap, like we've talked about, was just such a slow start that it didn't count for much. And then the next lap, you know, it's just if you mess up or anything like that, you know, trying to set up for it, and just, yeah, I didn't do well at all. So maybe I'll get my revenge one day, but it hasn't happened yet. I suck at OGP.
I had my own issues with my right rear hub kept on sliding, and it would slide in towards the bearing carrier, you know, about an inch each session. So, and we locked it down, we put a tie wrap next to it, we put tape, we did everything to keep that hub from sliding, and it just kept on doing it. So going through that showcase turn, I was losing so much speed because I'd have to lift, or always having to counter steer. And I went back and looked at the data because I wanted to get a comparison on changing the hubs from the 65 mils to the 30 to see, you know, the difference throughout the whole track.
Yeah.
And I was entering that turn over 300 RPM more than I was in the previous time we were doing the showcase. But then once I get, you know, just past the apex to track out, I would lose all those RPMs and come out even slower. So I was like, okay, well, that makes sense because, you know, now I'm going to, you know, the longest straight and I'm coming out slower than I was before. So, you know, yes, I'm making up time in the turns, but, you know, that's why everyone can catch me so easily coming onto the backstretch. It's, you know, I'm losing so much speed, and I was like, all right, I got to find something out. I can't do this again. So,
yeah,
that was the only problem I had really all weekend, is just managing that. But everywhere else, you know, on the track, the cart was really good. One lesson I learned was I am extremely inconsistent at that track, because my fastest laps would be like lap 16, lap 9, lap 12. And I'm like, what? You know, I thought, like, I felt like I'm hitting everything the way, you know, the same time, or, you know, or I feel like I'm in the ballpark, but nope. And I'm like, damn, this is bad.
Yeah,
this is real bad. So I have so much to learn there, and so much to focus on, that I'm glad I took advantage of driving two classes, and I'll probably continue to do that until, you know, someone says something about it.
Right. Yeah. No, that's, I think we all, now that we know the value there, and the fact that it's spaced out, you know, with four classes in between, you know, yeah, for qualifying, it's bang, bang, bang. So, like, you qualify, you come off, and you don't even leave. You just, you know, turn around and go right back to pre-grid, because it's three laps, and, you know, four classes are going, and you're up next. But then once you get into the races, you know, you know there's, you know, it's probably 10 to 15 minutes per class. So with four, you get an hour, you know, and then if there's any delay or anything, you get an extra bit, right? So, yeah, it makes a lot of, you know, sense for us to continue to do that, for sure. And it'll be good conditioning too, because you were gassed out. You know, I mean, I think everybody kind of felt it a little bit. Poor Quincy. I'm gonna kind of crap on him, because I was catching him like crazy in the final, the senior medium heavy final. I was just catching him like crazy, and I came in and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I was tired. I was so tired. He could just see me coming, and he was just, yeah, it was hilarious. But I was actually like getting my groove together. You know, my fastest lap, I just tried to log into my laps to see if I could get it. But, you know, I don't think they've uploaded anything to my laps. So it would be on Race Monitor, and I don't track everything on Race Monitor. So I could go back and look at it, but yeah, I think all of my fastest laps were always at like the last two or three laps each time. So that was kind of interesting and new, but you know, it's like, it is what it is. So yeah, I wasn't getting tired. I was actually getting comfortable with you know, each race as it went on. And I'm a slow learner anyway, so it's kind of all kind of makes sense. The more I think about it, I just need to, one of these days, actually go and get the full Friday practice in, because I think that's what I really need, just for who I am. I need to get the full Friday practice in. I need to walk the track, sit down, like actually mentally, you know, prepare for what I'm going to do and execute it. Because if I don't do that, I can't fly by the seat of my pants, you know.
Yeah.
So that part's a bummer, but it was still an amazing, amazing day. So, like, the driving was fun because, you know, we were together. But the shenanigans, not the same level as you guys that are Roebling. But I think it started off pretty epic. I mean, Scott, you killed it, brother. Like, I mean, that was awesome. So you have the award in front of you. Can you put it in front of the table and, like, talk about it?
Yeah, so Scott made this bobblehead doll after one of our fellow drivers with Jack's Karting. Mr. Miguel Ruiz, we've done a podcast with him. It'll be loaded up here eventually one day. And so Miguel, he's a trash talker, and he's kind of the comedian of the group. So Scott made this bobblehead doll from him, or about him, and it's called the Do It for Miguel Award. So the Do It for Miguel Award is an award given out to the person who does the best that weekend. So as often as we race in between all the tracks we get to, it's literally going to be going from, you know, to a new house every weekend. So,
right. That's the plan.
Yeah. And I just happened to, do the best out of the group, I guess. And, I got elected to win the award, and sure enough, it's at the house, and you know, anytime I want to punch him in the head, I just give him a flick. And but yeah, if you want to see the video of it, if you go to our Facebook page of Cardi Dads, you'll see the video of this doll. And you know, Quincy, if you look at Quincy's video that he put up, he nailed it right on the head, because I have about 3 seconds of video that McGill had no comeback, no nothing. And if you watch it, he's just sitting there like dumbfounded because he has no words to say. So yeah, that was a good time. And then, you know, standing up on the podium with the trophy, that was pretty funny. And it was just cool to have everybody there, and everyone joked, you know, about it. And it was late at night, you know. We don't race dirt where your races start at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, but when you're not leaving a track till 8 o'clock at night, you know, it makes for a long day, especially being up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely, I mean, I didn't think about it, but that definitely hurts us, because, you know, our day typically started at 4, we get to the track about 6:30, get registered, and then, you know, the final is always about 5 or 6 o'clock. So at that point, man, we've been going for a really long time. Man, we're going to have to figure some way to, you know, just, even if we end up, like, staying up later the Friday night, and to, hey, you know, if we're not taking the kids with us or whatever, and we just, it's the whole gate situation is what's a bummer, right? If we could figure out how to get there and be there and not have to be outside the gate, but just get in, even if we got there at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, still, you know, just being able to just settle down, relax, go to bed, and then waking up at, you know, 7, but not having to then drive 2 hours, right, and then unload. I think that would make a big difference too for, like, the mental preparation, for sure. At least for me, I know that. So something I need to work on. See, when I get to that point where I truly start doing well, to really maximize the day. Because, I mean, you know me, I care more about going out there and hanging out with my friends than actually, you know, the results of the day. But at the same time, I gotta make us look good, man. I can't be the lackey who spun 3 times by himself because he couldn't keep his card under him the first lap. I mean, that was just sad. That's just so sad.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't gonna say anything.
Yeah. Nah, dude.
You're killing the brand.
Dude, that was so painful. That was so painful, man. It's like, you know, it's like, I promise, guys, I do not suck this bad. In fact, like, I probably have the potential to, like, kick everybody's butt right now. I can't get my crap together. Like, if there's anybody who's going to have a surprise win out of everybody, it's me, and I can't get my crap together for nothing. So, anyway, I have been dealing with a lot, too, so I guess it's all part of it. Yeah. It's all good.
least you get to come home to your home track this coming weekend for the Maxis race.
I wish I was prepared, though. I'm not.
If you prepared, I'm you'd so probably be even worse than you are when you're unprepared.
Well, that's kind of a toss-up. I wouldn't say that's, like, entirely accurate, but yes, like, as with anything, you take away the pressure and it's just go out and do it. Once my brain knows what I need to do, I'll get it done. But yeah, like, you know, I'm nothing special, so. Yeah, once the pressure kicks in or one thing goes slightly wrong. If it's just adversity we're overcoming and I'm in a great mood, because I like overcoming adversity. I think that's, like, the best part of anything is, you know, if it was smooth sailing, that would be boring. I mean, an untested life is a boring life. That much I agree with. So, yeah, like, I like some adversity, but every now and then, man, I just need to have a clean weekend where, like, I'm on the ball, right out of the gate, and go, because it just... I don't know, man. I've been making us look bad for a long time.
No, I mean, if something doesn't go wrong with your car, you know, you blow a chain or you spin out or a tire comes off, you know, that's like, all right, well, that's just a manual being a manual. So, like, the day where you do have all your stuff together and you're out there winning the race, we're going to be like, well, what happened to this guy? Who worked on his cart? Cut the seal. Something's wrong.
I know, right? Something's wrong. Someone needs to go find the mechanic and give him a beer. It's beer o'clock because something's seriously wrong. He should not be keeping his crap together.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but we kind of downplayed it, though. Man, you got your very first top step, man. I mean, I mean, come on now. And it came with a special Do It For Miguel award as well. I mean, come on now. It's like, congrats, man. I'm proud of you.
Ah, man, I appreciate it.
Big time.
Yeah, it was cool. I didn't have the same success in Masters, but, you know, the guys I'm racing in Masters, you know, they're everyone in front of me has way more experience than me. So,
yeah,
I was able to finish ahead of three guys that the last two or three races we were down there have always beat me. So I was able to pass them, stay in front of them, and, you know, now I'm trying to hunt that, you know, top five pack that they're just fast. I mean, and with me not being as consistent as they are, it shows. Yeah. And, you know, if you look, I went back and looked at the times, like your fastest lap time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm within a half a second of the fastest lap time. But it goes back to what we've talked about so many times, that if you're a half a second per lap slower, you know, and you're doing 14 laps, that's a lot of time, and that's the reason why I'm falling back. You know, they can consistently hit their top speed and be there within, you know, a tenth or two per lap. You know, maybe a bad lap for them, mm-hmm. if they got a little loose or battling, you know, it's 0.3 seconds off their pace. If I'm doing a 0.5 seconds off their pace, and then I mess up and, you know, now I'm 0.7, 0.8, it makes all the sense in the world to me that, hey, I'm just not consistent enough. And that just comes with seat time, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, I am not mad at myself about that or bummed out that I couldn't keep up with those guys, just because I understand what they're doing and I'm just not on that level. I mean, plain and simple, the only thing I could do is continue to practice, continue to put in the time, continue to do the maintenance that we've been doing. And, you know, obviously they're doing something we're not. So we just got to continue to fight and see what we can do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just because you mentioned it, I went back and looked as well for me, and it's talking about fastest lap time. So in the Masters race, my bumper came off. So the nut that holds the bumper to the brace, whatever, that nut came off. It'd been coming off slowly. Like after every session, I would tighten it back, and I didn't have I think there's supposed to be a safety wire, like a cotter bar, an R pin or something in there, and I didn't have it in there. So that sucked. But just the nut came off, and like you were coming up behind me, and you would have passed me anyway. I mean, looking at the lap times, you were running, you know, almost like what, 8 tenths quicker than me.
I wanted to push you for a little bit. Lap. That was the thing, and then I saw the wrong flag. I mean, we had a nice gap, and I was like, okay, that's funny.
Yeah, meatball. That sucked. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it, and you know, it's like my fastest lap. In that Masters race, I did 11 laps, and my fastest lap was lap 11. And I went back to the senior race. I did 14 laps. My fastest lap was lap 13. Like, you know, throughout all of this, it was just my fastest lap would always come in the end.
It's on the same way.
As I got comfortable. Yeah, exactly. As I got comfortable, I mean, the whole day, I can go back and look at every one of my fastest laps are always at the end of the. And so it was either me just getting comfortable, figuring out what I had, or I just never got, you know, just got the pressures right so they didn't come in till the end. Either way, it was just the whole day was a learning experience. But yeah, I mean, I'm just like ready to just get over that hump where, you know, I can actually clock that fastest lap early and then kind of maintain that. Because to your point, you know, if I waited till that lap to get my fastest lap, sure, that lap may only be, you know, 8 tenths slower than you know what you guys up front are running, but what was I doing before that? Was I doing a second and a half slower, you know, each of those laps to get there? And the problem with race monitor, I guess, only shows me the results. Whereas if I had my laps, so, you know, Speed Hive, I could just go in and click on all the laps and see it. But, you know, it's good. But kind of switching gears a little bit to Max's, which is this coming weekend, still kind of a toss up as well. I'm gonna keep the flea market special on mine just because I probably cannot even commit to being there. I'll be there, sorry. I can't commit to running early in the morning. I may have both kids with me early, and my wife's occupied. So until she can show up about 11 or so and help out. And basically, I'll be jumping straight into qualifying later in the day. So I'm going to let you keep my motor and run that, because you probably have, you know, mentally, you're probably way more prepared. And you just ran a race, like, what, a month ago, and you were fast, you know. So, like, I haven't run at Jack's at full speed in 3 months or something like that. So, yeah, you keep the good stuff. I'll just be out there for fun. And I'm going to be making my honey sriracha meatballs. That's all I'm thinking about.
Like, yeah, we'll have we'll have to get a grill or something going. Hopefully we can, you know, kind of lock out an area where everyone with Jack's karting can come and park, and we can hang out and chill. Yeah. And, you know, let our presence be known that, you know, we're here to have a good time. And, you know, it just happens to be a race weekend.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, I already got, you know, the Sloker car is already out. I stopped by the store. I picked up 2 bags of meatballs. Like, that's all I'm looking forward to. It's like, dude, I'm just going to have that thing going. It takes about 4 hours to get it done in the slow cooker. Just show up 8 o'clock, have that thing going. Come lunchtime, I think lunchtime is slated for 12:30 right now in the schedule.
Yeah, something like that.
Right about then. Yeah, it's going to be ready. You know, and we'll just we'll dig into that. And sure, whether or not I even get out on track, I don't care. It's just let's have a good time. And you know, I'll be cheering on. It looks like we'll have a smaller contingent of racers from Jack's Kart. It looks like Quincy can't race because he'll be traveling, and then he'll show up last minute and won't have time to do it. Jorge probably won't be able to race either. And might not even be able to show up until either late or Sunday. So, no. So it'll just be Miguel, you, Scott. John is kind of a toss-up as well, because he's flying back in Friday night. So, like, most of us are like, yeah, it'll be toss-up whether or not we can actually, like, commit to race. But Kevin is geared up, ready to go. You are ready to go. And Miguel's ready to go. Scott's ready to go. Yeah, man, I think we're still going to have good representation. So it'll be awesome, man. It'll be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah. So that's kind of a bummer that, you know, not everybody in the group can go. But, I mean, that's the whole part of our group is, you know, there's things happen, you know, life happens and everything like that. So I'm just, I'm bummed that, you know, we can't have everybody. But I'm also kind of happy because that means the Miguel Trophy is staying at my house this weekend.
I don't know, man. Kevin might be taking it away from you. If Kevin wins Masters, Kevin is taking it from
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Kevin is fashion.
Oh, I forgot. Heath.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah, Heath might also make it out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We haven't really bugged Steven yet. Steven, I mean, it's local. You know, Steven might make it out. Steven's really been looking forward to running a big race. So I should probably bug Steven right now and find out. If he doesn't have to be at the shop for anything, Steven might be in. So, yeah, man. We'll have good numbers.
Oh, yeah.
We'll probably have, you know, six or seven of the 10 or 12. Kaylin, well, I don't know, man. Kaylin's to battle with. Yeah, Kaylin might take the award from you. Just saying.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I've only been able to outrun him twice, and once was in the rain. And the other time is I think he just gave me a pity award. So,
That's awesome.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. No, it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Pro Gas Shootout Friday night. So if anyone's around 103rd and want to watch some Friday night under the lights racing at 103rd, they're having a big Pro Gas Shootout. And, yeah, I'm super stoked to see that.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't really talked to the wife about it, but I'm planning to just grab the kids from school early, take them to get ice cream, and then bring them out to hang out. So that my wife has a test she has to be at on the Saturday morning. So even just giving her that time, that Friday evening time to study a little bit more, just preparing for the test would be good. So if we can make it happen, yeah, I'll come check out the Friday night shootout as well. But that's kind of a big toss-up right now. So we'll see how that goes. Any big plans for, like, your kart or motor and stuff? I mean, I know we're kind of all kind of in limbo right now. Did you decide if you're just going to get a block or a new block and keep all your top stuff, or are you going to sell everything and just get a brand new complete package?
No, I think I'm going to keep the head and just buy a whole new package so I have a spare head. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm not quite sure, you know, with the holidays coming up and, you know, this might be our last race of the year. It depends on the finale at Ocala. So right now, this might be looking at the last race for the year. Everything else would just be like fun time, but I don't know. Right. We'll see. And I just got to get some things situated first before, you know, I've been putting karting in front of a lot of things. So now it's kind of time where it's kind of come back to bite me in the butt a little bit. but no, it's, I plan on having a new package for next year. I just don't know exactly where I'm going to get it from yet. So yeah, that's a plan. And, you know, luckily I just have good friends that let me borrow their stuff. So,
borrow, that's what we're calling it.
Yeah. That. Borrow their stuff, you know, so I can continue to have fun. And, you know,
I can't even get it from you if I wanted it right now. I'd be like, come and get it, sucker. I'm like, all right, sorry, I can't come get it.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. No, it's just, I mean, that's what, you know, we've done, you know, one of our main goals in this group was to do is, you know, my stuff's your stuff. And, it's just really cool to have a group of people who are willing to do that, because that doesn't happen very often in any kind of motorsports whatsoever.
That's good.
So,
yeah, I mean, especially like, you know, the absolute, like 100%, you don't even have to worry about asking. Like sometimes, you know, somebody will say, yeah, if you need something, come get it. Right. I mean, most of the karting community is kind of good about it. I mean, we won't try to take credit for it just for us, but most of the karting community and kind of mostly all racing, except like the pro level, if you need something, sure, somebody is willing to help you. But sometimes you just have to think twice about asking them. Right. It's like, I don't know if I want to kind of owe this guy a favor, or I know if, you know, if I hit him by accident or like something happens on track, we're not friends anymore, you know, that sort of thing. But with our group, we don't have that problem at all. Like it's 100%. Like no matter what happens, we got each other's back, and it's pretty cool. So yeah, I'm actually going to spend some more time between now and the end of the year to really, really kind of build up what Jack's Karting is. I think, you know, our podcast, Karting Dads, has found its footing. We have a pretty good idea what we're doing with this. This is pretty awesome for us. And, I'll let you do it in the closing. But, I mean, we're so grateful that the silly idea we had a year and a half ago finally got ourselves together. And, like, this year sometime kind of started making progress with it. I mean, we've made some incredible friends, and it's letting us get pretty far. And, you know, everywhere we go, I mean, this weekend we met somebody new. And Gabe, welcome to the family. And, you know, Gabe, like more like-minded people who would, you know, truly enjoy, you know, the sport the way we do it, the way we see it, as you call it, you know, the paradigm shift, you know, in what karting should be. It's pretty awesome. So, yeah, I'll build up Jack's Karting and see. Jack's Karting, I think, is going to be easier for us locally to have a lot more involvement, to a lot more people who may not necessarily relate to Karting Dads, the podcast, but, you know, just needing help with karting in and around the Jacksonville area, just giving them more avenues to find people, find support, get resources. It's going to be cool. And maybe I get some good reviews about my honey sriracha meatballs. That's all I'm thinking about, seriously.
All right, man. Well, you take it easy this week. Work on those meatballs. And I got to get working on the cart and changing wheels and tires and all my maintenance stuff. And go from there. So we appreciate you guys again listening to our show. Please continue to follow our Facebook page at Karting Dads, and our website at kartingdads.com. And if you're also interested in getting started in karting in the Jacksonville area or in any area, check out our website at jackskarting.com. So again, guys, we appreciate it, and please continue to spread the word. So enjoy your weekend, stay safe, and have fun karting. See you guys. And there you have it. Another episode of Karting Dads is in the books. Thanks again, guys, for following us and listening to our show. Thank you again for telling all your friends. Please just continue to remind everybody to visit our Facebook page at Karting Dads or kartingdads.com or jackskarting.com. And if you guys have any questions, comments, or anything that involves with our show or what we're trying to do with karting, please just let us know at any of those sites, and we will be glad to answer any questions you have. So please continue to keep karting. Please continue to have fun doing what you're doing. So thanks, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.